preserved from the realities of life over there in that operation. You know, it's just kind of an ivory tower. But training has been a good one there. Very good. Very good. Good operator. He's kind of quiet as the other two guys. Wouldn't give them a piece of the action. But I think it's just as well. Because if they tried to all three run, it would. He sent one of our better appointments.
Is he worried about it?
Oh, yeah.
I have Mike really very strong field. Of course, it's on the environment, everything in the environment. He tilled it far more for usage.
Yep.
For usage, of course, I was super parts and conscious parts.
We've been spending a lot of money here doing that in the district, and we've set the example for cities around the country in terms of getting the neighbors out. They actually do the work. It's no good to have your municipal people come in and do it, because then the people don't have any, they don't change their attitude. So we've been getting quite a lot of coverage, and a lot of favorable comment on it here. Old Walter Washington's been honcho on it. He gets out and digs with the people, handles a shovel, throws the stuff in, and so on. And it helps some. They clean up some. They clean up the neighborhood, and then it gradually slides back. And over a period of 6 months, and they're back down to where they were before. And then you go in and you do it again. They look like patients. He's got a great sense of personal pride, a sense of family, and
these are just like, they're not a bunch of dogs.
They just really
that way, everything else.
Yep. And no sense of family structure, and they sleep around and all that kind of thing, and it's just another life, it's another society. That's the problem for the decade, as I see it. God damn, I think we have to break up that concentration. Get those people out into society somehow.
Yeah, that's why without having forced conversion housing.
Well, no, I think it's you've got a concentration here that feeds on itself. It just gets worse and worse. And I'm about to the point where I think they ought to be all stuck in boxcars and sent out around one family to each town and distribute them around. And they can do the domestic work and they can work their way up and the kids can go to decent schools and every town can take one or two. And spread them around. You obviously can't do that under any form of compulsion, but you can do it. By figuring out what incentives you could crank in. But anyway, that's a long story. I got two or three things. You noticed that the Ellsberg case went over.
That's what you want.
Yeah. Come up before the election. Everybody's playing it now as a victory for Ellsberg. And I just don't give a damn. That's fine. If they want to think that was a victory for Ellsberg, that's fine. The point is that the payout is for us. It's court. It's court entirely. And I talked to the Chief Justice, and he was kind of intrigued with the political aspects of it. He said the natural inclination of the court was not to come back for the summer anyway. You know, they want to break up their vacation. And they were concerned about the press as well. So we can tolerate a little jubilation on Ellsberg's side for a while, I think.
Sure.
Just ride along. And then after the election, I'd like to crack Neil Sheehan. Indict the hell out of him.
How about Jack Anderson?
Jack Anderson on the other case.
I don't feel that we say. I don't certainly intend to allow that son of a bitch to get away with that.
Yeah.
I see no reason why we don't get out and let the Joint Chiefs take the heat.
Well, we're keeping track of the keeping track of our sailor.
And we should take the
bill. Finally, we took the tap off the sailor, but we've got to watch him. And we'll just keep him on the string. We had remember we talked about Larry O'Brien and the IRS and so on. I did some checking. It seems that Larry O'Brien was already invited in for an audit just last week, and he failed to show up. So they, Schultz wanted some guidance as to how to play this. And I said, okay, invite him one more time this week before Wednesday while a national committee is meeting. If he doesn't show up, then subpoena him.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. And so, Wednesday will know.
Of course, what he can do, if you know, as I understand it, he can send his lawyer.
Send his lawyer and his accountant.
Right.
Yeah, but I think they got it. They may have. And it's this. This fellow Napolitan has already been audited. And he has testified, or he's reported, that the Hughes money that he got was split three ways. And we got $120,000 or something. And that O'Brien got the $190,000 direct, but then Napolitan got $120,000.
Right.
And he split his with O'Brien. And O'Brien got a fourth of that. And so they want to see if O'Brien has reported that.
What kind of matter? They can't do that without auditing.
No, they can't.
What kind of his return?
Well, see, his return will give a gross number. He's not required to break it all down by sources.
Oh, I get your point.
So they're required to justify his numbers, you see.
But unless it was, if you recall.
Well, unless it was withheld or something.
Yeah, no, what I meant is, as I recall, I had indicated when I was writing about myself, salary so much, honorary so much, and so forth.
No, when I was in private practice, for instance, I would have to report a gross number for fees.
Yeah, the exposure copies, which is.
Well, there again, it would come under that same general heading. And it would all be lumped together.
I didn't do that much information.
Yeah, so you don't have to specify the source.
Oh, no. I did it when I was in the Senate because of that.
Oh, I thought you were reporting.
And obviously, I'm in the Senate.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Yeah, I have an alternate government. Honorary so much, and I would put the other things down. All right, so you just go down and gross number.
Yeah. So, they're going to say, where's the Napolitan dough in here? We'll see whether he reported or not. We don't know.
Napolitan claims that he did. Why does Napolitan have to say he requires that he had to round? Why didn't he just?
Because the Napolitan doesn't want to pay income on it.
Well, Napolitan didn't report it.
He didn't pay tax on it because he said he was just a conduit for O'Brien.
But I think O'Brien isn't even a firm.
No.
Napolitan's firm.
No.
Who did he
spend? A separate entity.
Who else is going to?
Some guy I've never heard of. We're going to check him out.
What period of time?
O'Brien was national chairman.
Before the election, during the election, after?
Yeah, 70 and 71.
Why the Democrats would be doing that? I'll figure maybe they were going to be in the next
time. Any idea? Any idea?
The problem we have is a huge thing, which is a 201. It allows them to reopen the docks.
Yeah,
that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have anything in the Hughes thing. I mean, this just shouldn't. Because I assume that you can watch it down. The Don has taken any more money from
him. Not that I know of.
Right.
And none that shows up in this thing.
Good.
This all has to do with this gyre, this
John
Myers business.
No doubt.
And,
I don't think Don did because we scared him.
That's it.
Now, the other one is, though, as you know, Hughes, the lawyer, contribution meeting to his great credit said to help him. He said, $50,000 is not enough. He said, don't touch the money. He wanted him present in what lawyer money.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And he wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
They did contribute $50,000 in 68, but that was a campaign contribution. Probably in cash. But I don't know how they're going to be able to handle that themselves. Now, I think Morey and probably Kalmbach must have taken $50,000 from these people or something from these people. I mean, Kalmbach, you know, he could get the money.
He'll be in here today, I'll ask him.
Yeah, how much did he get in the house?
All right.
Now, let's just go down the lines. issue with going to that computer thing?
No.
Because what would that be? That would just say yes, I mean, maybe they didn't make a contribution here.
I would be troubled about that. That is never achieved the level of income tax evasion.
Well, if I did, you really think Uncle Frank would be guilty of
that? Well, that's my hope, that he didn't report this to the Apollo Frank.
That could be something.
That could be good.
Now, you follow it all the way?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
It's George Williams.
George is very willing, and he's the one who's doing it, so that we don't appear that. And he's hot. He says, I don't like this Cox and Roberts business and all that. And I said, George, this is a major contribution you're going to make to this campaign. You just hang.
Now, very interesting. It didn't happen yesterday. Rose called about over where we were in the asylum. Or was it yesterday? It was the day before. She said she had a call from Father Baker at 7:30. That was at the time when Muskie was expected to bring him up. Baker said, told her, I must talk to somebody. Don't talk to me either. I'll talk to you. She said, these people are good with me. And she said, I had a good son, particularly that one, Muskie. She called him one night, so I was trying to beat him to call him back. She made a call for Reese and Rose, and I was busy around the center. She could call his wife over to my office.
Yep.
Yep. Perhaps the fastest time we ever had. She's the only one who was ever been as fast as she was. Fortunately, I had a spell here. Bobby Baker got on the phone with me, and he said, look, this McGovern, I hate this son of a bitch. He's a disaster for the country. And he says, I'll do anything to help. I said, no. He says, I've got some information. He says, that involves Muskie. And I've got some that also involves O'Brien. This was a villain, because after McGovern, Muskie turned it down. Baker thought he would serve to take O'Brien's head. And he says, what can I say to you? And so he, with very good judgment, said, well, look, I'm going back to Florida.
Less able.
It was a
few.
Yeah. Great story about Bill. Bobby, without question, he did even railroad it. My view is that, well, let's see what he finds out. It's just hearsay or whatever. My view is if it's an Ed Muskie, we tear it to the
sure.
I don't care.
That particular O'Brien.
Yeah. If it's O'Brien. But if we're here with Muskie, let's face it.
Yep.
I mean, let's see what that triangle image was.
Yep.
Here it is.
Yep.
And if O'Brien, you just might find one of those other white knives, like a Nelson or something.
Yep.
He'll only turn on the electrics. But O'Brien, God damn it, what it could be. But O'Brien is 190 is hard to think. What in the name of Christ could he have done for you for this amount of money?
For the lobbyists.
Well, for what? You never lobbied us.
Can't imagine.
See what I mean?
Most of these lobbyists don't do anything. That is my impression. You know, very perfunctory sort of services.
That's a lot of money for a lobbyist.
Yeah.
Even in this town. I think.
Well, keep right on this. And it's a very... So, at the present time, the Apollo, the Apollo, why haven't we learned this sooner? Is there some reason?
Oh, it's just happened.
We've been right on top of this within a day. I just want to be sure IRS wasn't screwing us.
No, I don't think so. Because our guy is still in there, and he's feeding this to us as fast as it comes out. So I think we're very current on this.
And Apollo has now said that he's still going to be
right.
Because he is afraid of any contact.
He was brought in last week.
And you think that he probably had not reported the money himself and his own income?
He didn't pay taxes.
Is he a corporation or partnership?
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Oh, he's
probably
a partner. He had to rat. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, because he didn't pay any income tax on the amount that he turned over to O'Brien because it wasn't income to him. That's perfectly okay. In other words, if you and I are a private practice, I collect a fee from the client, yeah. But part of it is yours, by agreement, then I don't have to pay tax on it.
And I don't either. But I was thinking that people in a corporation could probably bury all their expenses in this thing.
Well,
with a company.
With an amount like that, it would be hard to do.
I see, you know,
on $120,000. But anyhow, you'll be hearing more about this. We'll keep you in touch. Now, speaking of Smathers,
this must be the involvement. Yeah.
We've got this railroad bailout bill.
Mitchell has already talked about that. He doesn't think it's very wise.
I talked to him just now upstairs. I think his concern is we're not getting enough for it. And,
I mean, if it's going to hurt us with the Teamsters, I would not.
No, it won't. They're for it.
They are.
Yes, sir. Teamsters, the truckers, the surface carriers.
They're all for it.
The water carrier.
Where the hell did he get the information and the idea that they were against it?
Well, he didn't know. And he assumed that they would be against it because it was favorable to the railroads.
I see.
But Smathers has covered his flanks pretty well. And he's got these people. Matter of fact, the truckers will put in money and they will give us field men. The Teamsters are definitely for it. Colson's checked. So what we've got is an interesting lineup, and we've got an offer of money and this field help and Smathers coming across, which is sort of a fringe benefit, in return for withdrawing our objection to a bill that may not pass. Anyway, Smathers is here. If we withdraw our objection to this bill now, the reforms are probably dead forever. Our one chance of getting certain kinds of deregulation, more competition in the industry and so on, would be for us to continue to object to it, to make sure that the bill didn't go anyplace this year, to reintroduce it next year with our reforms attached to it, and try and get it through over a period of the next 4 years.
I thought this is going to look like a payoff to Smathers. He talks a lot.
Then I would have to say yes. I mean, he will undoubtedly peddle his services to other people by saying, look, this thing was cracked in the White House. I have access to the president. I have a 3-year contract with the railroads. I pulled this thing off. I got the administration to back off its objections and abandon its reforms. I'm a hell of a guy. And he'd be entitled to say that, because that's in effect what he's going to be doing.
It isn't worth it, but you say to do other standards.
All right.
That's the remaining consideration.
The amount of money that the railroads
are supposed to help us.
Half $1 million is what the railroads have offered us. Plus, the truckers offering us couple $100,000 and field men. And that's the quid pro quo.
What's the explanation for our backing on their transportation policy?
Well,
could be due to Congress. Here's Congress.
Volpe rationalizes it. He says we are getting some reforms in the bill. We've got a very sick railroad industry. we're going to take what we can get now, and then fight vigorously for the reforms in the new Congress. We'll be strongly in favor of this thing on the merits. He thinks we've gotten a modicum of reform, and that we ought to go for it. So he makes the case on the merits. At the same time, Smathers undoubtedly will be arguing that it was a perfect lobbying job and he pulled it off, and the merits didn't have much to do with it. I don't think he will raise hell with us. He will raise hell with the railroads. Sayers has frustrated Smathers in this thing from the beginning. And Smathers is frank to say that he may not be able to get it through.
It wouldn't be any dollars. George, George is going to understand. George is timing it wrong. You want to make it later in line. And you can also, find out that he's very valuable to his clients because he has really listened to every much. That's the way it is, but it's just not our interest to have it be an issue.
I passed the word to Senator Baker that you would not see him on the water quality bill because he's up for re-election and because you would not want to put him in the position of being known to come to you with a case and then losing him. That there would be a death incentive for him.
Well, when does it come up?
Probably comes up just before the convention, probably in the next week.
That would be signed.
Well, you won't have it then. You won't have it to act on until after the convention.
I see. Well, keep doing it.
Yeah,
we can.
But Baker has been pressing very hard because they go to conference this week.
Yeah.
And he's had a turnout.
What basically is it? Because your judgment on the present time,
it's a veto.
You would recommend?
Yes, sir.
You agree with?
Yep. That's where I am right now. These guys will scream and holler. A lot of people around the country will scream and holler. But your whole
at the same time say that we are for
clean water, but we're against higher taxes.
This bill would mean higher taxes. We have a bill which will provide the
said
job without taxes.
Right.
Let's have clean water and no higher taxes.
That's the line. And I think this gives credibility to your statement that you're going to hold this line. Now, Schultz told me something Saturday that is hopeful, and that is that because the economy is booming in the way that it is, revenues are going to be much higher than Treasury has predicted. So that we're going to have a much cleaner deficit situation, and we'll be getting revised revenue estimates, and it'll help as we get into the fall.
Yeah. Well, they've been revising up for all the time.
Yeah, but he says it's really dramatic now.
It has to be.
That's right.
I can't be right that much about it.
Well, they predicted some increase, but he says it's beyond. It's really beyond that. Now, I've got an option paper here for you on this blue-collar worker, federal blue-collar workers. And these are the guards and the truck drivers and the people like that who are under the so-called wage board.
Where do you mean you have them?
Probably with the union. The federal employees union, of course, is strongly for this.
Is that Lyons?
That's Griner and
right.
The other guy.
What's the problem?
Well, the problem is it's just a hell of a lot of money. It's well over the budget. It's $175 million added annual cost. Fiscal 73 budget impact would be $21 million over. Fiscal 74 budget impact, $135 million over. It would put them at 112% of comparability so that they would be on a hit of industry by 12%. You vetoed the same kind of bill last year, which would have only put 8% ahead of industry. So they're cutting a very bad hog here. Now, the difference in the response of these two unions, according to Colson and the other people who seem to know, is that Griner would give you a personal endorsement and public and active support if you supported this bill. On the other hand, if you did not, if you vetoed, then he would give you passive support but no public occurrence. Colson took favor of your signing it. He says by signing you can secure the endorsement of Griner and cement the endorsement of Ken Lyons. That's 950,000 employees. Griner will put members of his union to work in blue collar areas in key states. Lyons will do the same. A veto can be used by the Democrats to argue we don't care about the little guys, part of the big business complex.
Well, looking at where they are, it affects these states. It matters. Maryland, which is the only one state, California. We don't give a goddamn about the District of Columbia, Texas, or the rest of this issue, but Maryland, California, federal blue collar.
The other factor here, which more or less underlines what you just said, is that probably the IPO could not be sustained, although it clearly could not in the Senate, but it might be sustained in the House. We're still trying to find out.
Sure.
Sure does.
The chance that they're going to have these